Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why shut, won't you talk, see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma, this is Clay Clark's Faith and I just want to get it right. Clay Clark's Faith and Liberty Conference out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I drove about 8 hours to get here. I just love the fact that I could do that. And so this is the Faith and Liberty Conference. Clay Clark, and this is just proof positive that what you do has ripple effects all over the country. This is in the middle of the country, in what they consider flyover country, and here we are. And who are some of the guest speakers here at this conference? People like General Michael Flynn, Lynn Wood, I always forget her first name, no I don't, Sidney Powell. We interviewed earlier for an interview at a later date, Ian Smith, the gym owner who defied the governor in New Jersey. Unbelievable stories. And Lynn Wood, as I said, these are people who have the courage and the guts to stand up and say the things that people all over the country are thinking. Oh, yes. And Mike Lindell, everybody knows him as the My Pillow guy. He is uncovering a brand new social media thing this very day. And it's called frankspeech.com. So you're going to want to pay attention to that. You can listen to the whole conference, watch it, live streaming on Friday and Saturday, today and tomorrow, live streaming. And I have my very first guest, somebody everybody knows, Alan Keyes, is joining us now. Welcome to Spouting Off, Alan Keyes.
Hi.
We don't fist bump. We give hugs.
That's right.
We shake hands.
That's right.
We do all of that. So welcome. What brought you here to the Faith and Liberty Conference? You're broadcasting right over there.
Well, we're here because my daily fare these days in trying to address what I think is the greatest crisis in the history of our country,
yes,
has to do with the conjunction of faith and liberty, in the sense that without the faith, we would be able to maintain no liberty. And that was literally, it's literally the understanding that was implemented when the United States was founded, because where a lot of people think that the nation is all about freedom, I actually think that that is a understanding that departs from the original mindset of the people who founded the country. Because what is mentioned in the Declaration of Independence is not freedom. It's liberty.
It's liberty.
And the difference is that liberty is among the God-endowed rights. And a lot of times now, people who are trying to destroy us want folks to believe that right and liberty are synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
When I say right, I mean right and freedom, rather. Right and freedom are synonymous. And that when I say right, think freedom. But that's not true, because as a God-endowed unalienable right, the first premise of liberty is the premise of doing something that is right according to the endowment of God's will.
Hmm.
A lot of people miss that. There's a connection between right and righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And if liberty is a right, then if you use your freedom to do wrong, yes, you are not exercising a right. You are committing a wrong. And that's vitally important, because it means that we cannot sustain our rights if we ignore what is the foundation of our righteousness. We cannot sustain our liberty if we depart from the standard of God that is the standard of our faith. Does that make sense?
It does, and I've been hearing this a lot. Could it also be said that freedom is do anything you want? Liberty is must have with it in personal responsibility to take the consequences of your actions. Once you hand over the consequences, then somebody, you're a serf. But if you're willing to accept the consequences for your actions, that is liberty. No?
No, not quite.
Okay.
Because there has to be a standard of right that transcends consequences. Okay? So that you're not looking at outcomes.
But it's still...
If you always look at outcomes, then you are not applying the standard before you act. And if you don't apply the standard before you act, then you're not taking account of the difference between right and wrong. You're acting as if, in a way, there is no standard for making a judgment about that difference. That does not allow us to have a society that is well-governed and that can perpetuate itself. Because at the end of the day, government not only involves taking the consequences, it involves being careful not to take actions that have consequences that are contrary to what is right, according to the standard that is our common ground for making judgments about right and wrong.
But it's still voluntary. I mean, one of the things that the left does is they tell you, you know, they it's either mandated or prohibited. Everything is dictated. And one of my mottos is, God gave us free will. We should never expect less from our government. So we're not asking that other people live according to what we ask. We're saying that there are consequences to your actions, and we ask that you act responsibly. But if you don't, there are consequences. That requires liberty, taking free volition and taking your free will and making decisions for yourself. That seems to be what the left wants to take away.
Well, you have to make decisions for yourself.
Yes.
But take as the example of the day. What is happening with LGBTQ, a movement that is actually based upon the notion that if I woke up tomorrow morning and I said, well, I get more pleasure and satisfaction out of life by thinking that I'm a woman. So I'm a woman. And now I'm going to force you to say that I'm a woman. Right?
It's not enough that I think so. I have to force you,
You're going to force me.
Right.
But more importantly than that, it's not enough if a woman wakes up tomorrow or a man wakes up tomorrow and says he's a woman. It's not enough that you acknowledge and you call me she and everything. You have to allow me to compete in women's sports.
Yes.
In which case, I become the master, as it were, of deciding what is feminine and what is not.
I get to decide.
Now, let's go to what is actually most important from the perspective of the people of the United States. What is the basis for the claim of the American people to have a form of government in which all the people are to participate on an equal basis in order to decide who is going to wield the power of government? Right? Right? So that we have elections. We participate in those elections, and the people who arise from them are not our leaders, Führer. No, they're not our Führers. They are our representatives doing what we would want done in the circumstances in which they find themselves, and consulting our sense of conscience and heart and priority when they do what they do. Well, if we have made this claim to have this form of government. Why? It starts out with this notion all men are created equal, right? And aside from quibbling about whether that's mankind or male, it's actually mankind.
Right.
But leave that aside. All men are created equal. Is that really a true statement? Because I don't think it is. I think that there is no human being on this planet who has equal abilities across the board with every other human being.
No. so we're unique.
When you deal with it in terms of material force, material consequences, we are not equal. No. Some of us run faster. Some of us cook better. Some of us do better math than others of us, and so forth and so on. In every endeavor that people do, there is this difference. So when the Declaration of Independence says we're all created equal and endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, how do we make sense of that? Well, I think what's clear is that we have an equal responsibility to do what is right according to the terms of God's endowment. Right? So that we will respect the decisions that have been made, the differences, the boundaries, the determinations that God has made. That, for instance, distinguishes males from females. And that understands that maleness and femaleness are ornamented with a reality that says, hey, when you all get together, it's going to be especially pleasant that you are doing something that not only helps you and cares about you, but has a consequence for the whole human race. So that if you abstain from doing it, the human race is extinguished. If you follow your that instinct and do it properly and accept the responsibility for doing it, the human race survives. That means the standard of God goes beyond our own existence and has to do with our existence and in a sense with our duty and responsibility to participate in and accept the responsibility and care that may be involved for the preservation of others, starting with our children, continuing to those that we work with, live with, play with, pray with in our world, in our community, in our nation.
Right.
And that's the founding premise of America.
Yes, it is.
So that, and you'll notice, it takes account of two things that consequences, material consequences, don't address. First is that sense, I have responsibilities that go beyond myself. And those are natural. Those are in accordance not with the laws of human making, but with the laws that are made by that higher being from which all beings come according to a rule that makes them distinct from one another, that allows us to recognize ourselves as humans and the stone as a stone.
See, we know why Ellen Keyes is a longtime talk show host, because this man can talk about anything at a moment's notice and you know, crystallize it down to... You've been doing talk radio now for how long?
I haven't done talk radio in a while. I'm doing TV stuff now.
Okay, well,
which is a lot. It's conversational,
radio.
And you're mostly talking.
Yes.
But we do go out over radio.
Right.
But we also go out over television. So there, you have to be a little bit more conscious of how you look while you're talking.
How unfortunate.
Yes, isn't it?
That's why I do radio.
Well, that's why I should probably do radio too.
No.
But that's neither here nor there. But of course, throughout the course of what I do, I guess I've always talked with a purpose. And that purpose remains the same now as it ever was. Because I think that as Americans, we're born with a particular responsibility to our community. And that is, we are born as members of the sovereign body of the people. See, what does that mean? It means that we're participating in the decisions that kings, queens, emperors, monarchs, people who essentially were required by their duty to be taking care of the whole thing, taking care of the whole nation, taking care of the whole town, taking care of the whole community. Each of us as an individual has that responsibility. And at the end of the day, it means that when we involve ourselves in politics, what have you done for me lately demeans our responsibility.
Right.
It's talking to us as if we were not part of the sovereign body of the people. And I think that our politicians are doing that to us all the time now.
Well, there has been a movement for many decades to dismantle the very best principles on which America has been based, from the family to straight men to people of faith to people who love the country to people who supported Donald Trump, who was waking people up. It is as if there has been a blueprint to dismantle and destroy everything that has made America great. And with that, we're going to have to wrap up. But we thank you so much for the work that you do. Tell everybody where they can hear your radio show, your TV show, because your voice is so necessary and you inspire others, which is important. Everybody can inspire others.
You'll find everything, but not like you. You'll find everything you need to both get in touch with the programs I'm doing and so forth at imtv.us on the internet, imtv.us.
Okay.
You can also go to brighteon.com.
Oh, yes.
And search for IMTV.
Uh-huh.
And you'll find us there.
Right.
And we appear, I appear every day, between the hours of 1 and 5, we have programming on Brighteon, which you can get at live.brighteon.com, starting at 1 p.m. Monday through Friday.
.com.
Right.
And thank you so much. Alan Keyes, are you a reverend?
No. I'm a doctor in the PhD sense of that.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. Well, I mean, in these days, everyone needs to be a doctor of liberty.
Amen.
We are all here, and it's such an honor to be here and to commune with so many people who love liberty and who care and are worried about this country. The time is now to save it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for being on Spouting Off.
It's good to be with you.
I appreciate it. Well, we're going to move on and have another guest shortly. This is a special edition of Spouting Off here live. Now, I don't think we can actually even take calls but you can go to my website, KarenCataline.com, and email me. We will be live in the studio next Friday at the usual time, 2 p.m. Eastern and 1 p.m. Central. And in fact, noon Mountain and 11 a.m. Pacific time. I wanted to share with you an idea that I had that I'm going to probably write a piece about. I do have a piece right now I want to alert you to, which is on westernjournal.com. Please go there or go to my website. You can read it there at KarenCataline.com. The piece, and I've got to remember the exact title of it because they change it, is Americans are being talked into committing suicide, and it's working. Those are very strong words. I know that this country, there are people who don't know liberty enough to stand up for their own liberty, and they're being goaded and encouraged and even talked into the idea that America deserves to die as it was founded, because the people that hate America have been indoctrinating not just young people, although that has been a major target, but just everybody, thinking that America is the problem in the world. Not so. But those who have it in for America want to talk people into committing suicide for their own country. Case in point, this is the idea that I had that I just want to share with you. We haven't done video for a long time, although I'm pretty much on the internet doing various other radio interviews. And that's this. In the 40s, in the post-war Germany, we had one of the best examples of a test tube on what works better for human happiness, happiness, but not just happiness, for something to work. And that is East Germany versus West Germany. We saw very clearly that West Germany flourished. West Germany had a free market. West Germany, people were happy and people wanted to come there. East Germany, when they were split, East Germany was a hellhole, and they had to build a wall to keep people in. Not who wanted to come, but they had to build a wall to keep people holed up inside. That was what the wall was for, to keep people in. People easily know the story of East Germany versus West Germany. When the Soviet Union fell, we got to see, I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime, that the Soviet Union, that the Berlin Wall fell. That was an extraordinary time. In fact, I still have a little piece of the Berlin Wall, and it's guaranteed that it's a piece of the Berlin Wall. I grew up thinking that the Berlin Wall was going to be there forever. And when it fell quickly and immediately. Well, we're seeing another test tube today of communism versus capitalism. It's happening in our very own country today. Governors, Republican governors, even the most mild, mealy-mouthed governors, are talking about, are presiding, forgive me, over free states more than Democrats. The Democrat governors, wherever there is, this is what I'm trying to tell you, wherever there is Democrat rule, not only executive in the executive branch of states, Democrat governors, Democrat legislatures, as there is in Colorado, where I just left. Wherever Democrats are in control in this country, you're seeing the same thing. You're seeing rioting. You're seeing strife. You're seeing hatred, discontent, or as my husband calls it, hate and discontent. You're seeing people poop on the street. You're seeing irresponsibility. You're seeing crime through the roof. You're seeing misery. You're seeing mask mandates. You're seeing the closing of businesses, the destruction of cities and towns. Even within the state of Texas, even within the state of Texas, you have Democrat cities like Austin. And there are mask mandates, whereas in places where Republicans are in charge, the city has opened up, the place has opened up, people are realizing that they get to be in charge of their own lives. So that's my point. East versus West. Now, I see General Flynn is, I see General Flynn came in. Can we get him over here live? Is there any way we can get General Flynn here live? He just walked in. Now there he goes out again. Keith, do you want to come talk to us for a minute? This is the fun of live radio. General Flynn just walked in and walked out, but this is a dear friend and now a colleague, Keith Hansen of The Keith Hansen Show.
Hello.
Welcome to a live special edition of Spouting Off.
Oh, we're live.
We are live.
Okay. All right, so I have to. So there's no edit feature,
no dumb. Whatever comes out of your mouth goes out on the air.
Oh boy!
So be even more bold than ever before.
I can do that.
To tell Keith Hansen to be bold is really not that big a deal, because he's always bold.
That's taking a broom handle to the hornet's nest.
Before, if people haven't heard you on my show before,
yes.
Tell everybody just very briefly what your background is, because you have a fascinating background, and we're here broadcasting together.
Well, to begin with, I was born, and it was all uphill from there. So, so I have a background in primarily in law enforcement training, especially. So between media and law enforcement, I mean, that's pretty much been my life.
Yeah.
So I know it's simple. You made it sound very grandiose, and I appreciate that. But,
no, it's very serious. Considering that among the many people that are under attack right now are law enforcement officers.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
Now, we could start there, because you train people in the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
You train people to exercise their Second Amendment rights responsibly and knowledgeably.
Yes.
And let's see, the left that wants to confiscate our guns, and up until recently were lying about it, mm-hmm. now they're telling the truth about it.
Right.
They told us we didn't need guns because we had law enforcement.
Right.
Now they want to take away law enforcement. Doesn't it kind of seem like basically they just want us to be helpless and do as we're told? About that.
Certain segments of the population they do want to have helpless. I don't believe that Democrats are anti-gun. at all. They're just anti-gun for people they don't like. They don't want people like you and me to have guns because then we have the ability to say, no, not on my watch. You're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
One person with a gun can bully and push around 100 people who are unarmed. And Democrats like that. And think about it. I mean, there's a variety of different ways that we can take this. But the from a personal protection and self-defense standpoint, nobody wants to take a life. But if one had to take a life, if they had to use deadly force to protect themselves against somebody else's unlawful, aggressive use of deadly force, that is the ultimate statement of individualism. And leftists, progressives, Marxists, socialists, they don't like individualism. They
collectivism. No, they do not.
Now, one of the things that we've learned, and I have to say, truthfully, I go back and I reread 1984 by George Orwell. At this point, I'm rereading it about once every 3 months. Because every time I read it and reread it, there's something more relevant today that makes sense from reading that. Interesting, the three principles of Ingsoc. One of the principles of Ingsoc was doublethink. So this is the English socialism. That was the government or the philosophy, the governmental philosophy that was set up in that novel, 1984. And one of the things that one of the three tenets was doublethink. And doublethink is the requirement that an individual unquestioningly adhere to two contradictory principles without acknowledging the contradiction simultaneously.
Right.
I have to be for the empowerment of women, but I have to support a man whose brain says that he's a woman competing in women's sports.
And who could be a 250-pound man who hammers women. I'm against the abuse of women, but not in a ring in which a 250-pound man can pummel a woman in a ring.
I believe that I have to empower women, but I also want to take away the rights of women to defend themselves by restricting their access to firearms.
Right. There's a million
kind
of those.
So, you know, we can certainly apply the doublethink concept to what we're seeing right now, especially with the police. I have to be honest, as a former police officer, there is nothing more ivory tower than somebody saying, well, you know, if somebody's attacking you or somebody's violating your private property rights or something like that, you don't have to take responsibility for that. You simply call the police. That is the equivalent of saying, you don't have to clean up the dishes. I'll have the maid do it. Talk about ivory tower white privilege, to use their terminology.
Right.
Okay? Responsibility for your personal safety falls on you. Period. End of story. That's it.
Right.
They want us to believe that, well, if I am being attacked, if I'm facing a threat of bodily harm, if somebody's threatening myself or my family or my property, well, I just have to call the police. But then the police are bad and they have to be disbanded.
Right.
So which one is it? You can't have it both ways. Welcome to progressivism 2021 style.
Don't you think, I don't know if you're finished with that thought, but I think that we're progressing, I hate to use that word, progressing to an understanding that accepting insanity is part of the intent.
Talk
about that.
I think it's an interesting concept, and I think it's definitely true to a certain degree. You have to remember, though, that in this twisted, convoluted world that the progressives believe we live in, that perception is what guides you. I mean, it's a central tenet of postmodernism that... Well, reality is what you interpret it. I think one of the most damaging and destructive things that parents ever told children is, well, you know, everybody has their opinion, and your opinion is just as valid as everybody else's. No, that's not the case at all.
No.
That really is steeped in that postmodern concept.
That's moral relativism.
It's a great way. Yes. I mean, you're 100% correct.
Yeah, the truth is whatever I think it is.
The truth is whatever I think it is, and so my perception of reality guides what my understanding of truth happens to be.
Right.
And so that's why you will hear people say, well, you know, that's not my reality. Well, no, there's one reality. How your brain chooses to interpret it, well, that's entirely up to you. But reality is the same for you as it is for me.
Yep.
So, and we have to look at it objectively, not subjectively.
Right.
That's a big part of the issue.
Right. So, you and I are both here because we care about our country, want to lend our talents.
I do more than care about my country. I love my country. I love my country.
Ditto.
And I want to see my country survive.
Survive.
And I want to see people inspired to stand up and take a stand for this country, not sit back passively and tacitly accept the destruction of this country by a minority of people. And this is what's important to understand. This is a very vocal minority. They are not the majority, despite how badly they would like to believe that or try to assert it. They are not the majority.
No, they're not.
We are.
No, but as you just pointed out, one person with a gun can bully and intimidate hundreds without a gun if they're disarmed.
Indeed. Indeed.
And ignorance, stupidity of liberty, and all the rest is part of being disarmed. And they've gone about disarming our population forever. So this is one of the toughest questions I'll ask you.
Sure.
And we're asking it of a lot of people around here.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do about it? What do you think are the things that we can get to work doing right today that are actually going to save this country?
That's a great question. And I think first and foremost, every single person watching this and listening to this, they need to take inventory of their own ethical and moral makeup. You need to figure out who you are. You need to figure out what's important to you. And you need to figure out exactly where your line in the sand is.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody can be an outspoken conservative pit bull commentator.
Yeah, you don't have to be in order
to be
effective.
There are, and when you look at a battlefield, for instance, General Flynn is in the room right now. So, you know, using and just referencing him, when you look at the aspects of a battle, everybody is important. You have the people that are on the front lines, that are in the trenches. They're critical. Your infantry, they're critical. You have the logistics technicians, the people who are responsible for getting everything to where it needs to go. You have the planners. You have the politicians who are trying to negotiate. Your infantrymen are trying to win the war in the trenches, but you have your politicians that are trying to win the war behind the scenes using diplomacy. There are multiple factors and multiple players that come into that situation. And
sorry.
It's okay. There's a lot of activity here.
Well, there's a lot of activity.
And so people need to realize that every role, no matter how big or how small, is important. It is absolutely critical to this. So people need to take inventory of what's important to them, first and foremost.
Absolutely.
And you need to understand what's at stake here. That passively living your life and tacitly approving of what is happening in our country is no longer acceptable.
It's going to make it worse and worse until we are living in an untenable situation.
Agreed. You've heard the expression, and it's a bumper sticker slogan, freedom isn't free. We all have to do our part.
Right.
Well, the bills come due at this point.
That's right.
People need to, first and foremost, take inventory. Second thing that they need to do is they need to become civically literate. You need to understand how your local government works. You need to understand how your federal government works.
Right.
You need to understand the difference between the two. You need to understand what the 10th Amendment is and what it does.
Mm.
You need to understand that if you think the Electoral College needs to be abolished, you're the reason that we have the Electoral College. If
well,
you
for
don't
people
know
who cannot, that's overwhelming to them. If they know that something's wrong in America, but they're not sure. We heard Governor General Flynn say that this morning.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very humble man.
Yes.
And when he doesn't know the answer to something, he's honest about it. He's totally honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. And so we all can't be historians. We all can't. But if you know there's something seriously wrong, if you know that something doesn't add up about these masks for a year, about shutting down businesses, government overstepping its bounds to a ridiculous degree, you got to stand up to it. You got to stand up and be honest about it. It's a use it or lose it kind of thing. I could go on, but I want everybody to know how to listen to your show. This man, Keith Hansen, is one of the best talk show hosts I have ever heard. And I'm honored to be a part of the team with USMN, and I'm honored to have filled in for you many a time on your national show. So tell everybody how they can find you, Keith Hansen.
All right.
And so, watch and listen.
The easiest thing to do is to visit either KeithOnTheAir.com. That's KeithOnTheAir.com. KeithHansonShow.com.
Yes.
You can certainly go to WSMN.live, stream the show live there. You can go to the TuneIn app if you have your iPhone or Android store. Go to your iPhone or Android store, download the TuneIn app. It is free. And search for WSMN, and you can take the program on the go with you there. You can follow me on Facebook.com/KeithOnTheAir. You can catch me on I'm off of Twitter. Screw Twitter. Get off of Twitter. It's useless. Parler, at Real Keith Hansen. It's at Real Keith Hansen on Parler.
And listen to that velvet voice.
So,
wonderful.
Well, you gave me a ride in. So I rode in with you from the hotel this morning, and the truth be told, she was swooning over my voice today.
It was
very, very humble.
Person.
So,
love you
too.
Love
Thank you.
You.
Appreciate it. So, we're not social distancing here. So,
no, we're not.
No social distancing.
So. Woohoo! Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. We got a camera here. Look at that. We got a camera. And we have another guest who's coming right now, sitting down with us. And we still have 20 minutes. I'm telling you, this is great. Rachel Hamm, running for Secretary of State of California. All right. Welcome, Rachel.
With our matching royal blue
black and white.
We got the memo.
Rachel Hamm, welcome to Spouting Off.
I love
I'm Karen Cataline, and that's the whole point of Spouting Off. It is to say what's on your mind without apology. We're way too apologetic, especially Christians.
Yes.
Now I'm not a Christian. Mm-hmm. I put the Judeo in Judeo-Christian.
Yes.
So I'm Jewish.
Okay.
And so it is genetic that we speak out and we debate and everything else.
Yes.
I want some Christians to get a little louder.
Okay, it's like you watched my last YouTube channel show and are saying, I said that, this is what I said. I said, we need to learn from the Jews because Jews have chutzpah because they know who they are.
We have chutzpah.
You do. And I agree that Christians need more chutzpah.
It's, you know what it is? That's why. I hate to speak in stereotypes because there's always exceptions to the rule.
But of course,
some stereotypes do have some role to play.
Yes.
And debating issues and having, you've heard the thing, two Jews, three opinions.
Yes.
Right? Well, we love to debate and argue and we get very vociferous and then we back off, we hug each other and we move on.
Yes.
Christians, on the other hand, and I heard it last night because we were at an event probably last night, mm-hmm. in which Christians say, be nice. Mm-hmm. And under my breath, I was muttering, and I went,
yes.
Nice? We're losing our country.
Yes.
It's time to stop being nice.
Yeah.
You don't have to be like Democrats. You don't have to be like the left. But if there's something that you could feel passionate and strong about, it's losing this brilliant experiment in human liberty. We got to speak up to stop it. So with that in mind.
I agree 100%, by the way.
Yes.
I do.
We're going to let you spout off.
And when they said that last night about being nice, I thought the same thing. I thought,
nice.
No, it's not time to be nice.
No, it's time to stop being nice.
There is a time for war.
Yeah.
I think that was God's words.
Yeah. And there you go. And it's also that if you are guided in, I think you Christians call it righteousness or whatever, I don't know, then you're not going to be like the radical left. You're going to stand in principle.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Remember what Winston Churchill said. Mm-hmm. Something like, never, 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 never give up.
Yes.
But also, never give in except in matters of principle and conscience.
Mm-hmm.
So fighting and not being nice, we've turned things upside down in this
Absolutely.
Country. Where nice is not nice and not nice is nice. No. Time to start. Stop being nice.
Yes.
Anyway, let's come to what you're up against, what you're doing, and my wonderful Juan gave me this and pulled you in and said, talk to Rachel Hamm.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
You're running for Secretary of State of California.
I am exploring a run for Secretary of State.
Oh, yes. So you haven't announced yet.
I have not announced anything. I have formed an exploratory committee and am exploring.
It's always the first step.
It's always the first step. Yep. Yeah. And then a whole bunch of money needs to come in, and then, yes.
Where are you based?
I'm in Central California. So I'm in the Central Valley in Clovis, California. So right in the very center of the state.
Okay. Tell us a little about your background that led you to this point. Because you know that George Soros and others have been installing people in Secretary of State, frankly, in order to usurp the people's wishes.
Yeah, so all I'm up against is George Soros. That's it.
That's it. So aren't we all?
Yeah, yes.
Talk about a self-hating Jew. And then all of a sudden they call him, you know, if you disagree with the great George Soros, you're an anti-Semite.
Right.
Now, I've been called an anti-Semite.
That's fine.
Just like Candace Owens has been called a racist.
Yes.
So
it's really fun. We're
no
in a fun time right now.
So why listen to them anyway?
It's ridiculous.
Right. Yes. So talk about, so California seems to be on the forerunner of insanity.
That's
been for a long time. One of the reasons I left Colorado to move to Texas is Colorado is trying desperately to become another California.
Yeah, they are. And they're doing pretty well.
Yeah. Here's what I want to talk about since you're running for Secretary of State.
Since I may be running for Secretary of State.
Since you may
be running for Secretary of State. I'm exploring a run for Secretary of State.
And that is, people have told me who live in California that just like in Colorado, California is really much more conservative than people realize. But with mail-in ballots, which they made now, they voted them in in Colorado, and California's had them for a long time, that it's the greatest way to steal an election.
Absolutely.
And so do you believe that California voters on the whole are more conservative than they've been made out to be?
100%.
Orange County?
I believe specifically the last two election cycles, we actually went red, and fraud is what caused us to be called blue. So I don't know if you know some of the stats in California, but like in L.A. County, we had 144% voter turnout. It was a miracle. And then they certified the vote. They certified the vote. And then we have at the border, the Democrats are getting the illegals as soon as they come across the border. They enroll them into social services. And we have rules in California, special rules. When you're enrolled into social services, you also must simultaneously be enrolled, registered to vote. And
but you shouldn't show your ID because that's racist.
Well, and then the second rule is you're not allowed to ask if they are an American citizen. And so we're actively encouraging illegal, and they do encourage them to vote. They actually think they're supposed to vote. It's really a very sad thing for them. Because then they're brought before immigration judges trying to become legal citizens. And the first question they're asked, have you ever voted in an American election? And they proudly say, yes. And so the judges are in on it. It's a whole cycle of corruption. And then the judges say, okay, you're permanently denied citizenship. So we're just feeding this monster, and it's intentional.
Wait, so they're denied citizenship.
On the basis of having voted.
Well,
which they were told to do as soon as they came across.
Why would the judge be in cahoots to not make them a citizen? Wouldn't the left want to make them a citizen?
No, they wouldn't, because they want the oppression. They want to collapse the system and have the bad economy, get it where everyone is dependent on the state to give them the ultimate power and control. They're very evil.
Yesterday we heard from someone who witnessed the collapse of an economy in, Zimbabwe. It's a shame that Americans are so innocent and naive as to not realize what we are watching and on the road to.
Yes.
So what are you going to need in order to decide that you're going to run for Secretary of State?
Well, you know, honestly, I really am stepping up because there's no one better. It's one of those, like, someone should do something about that, someone should do something about that, someone, maybe it's me. You know, kind of what I really feel like we all need to be doing right now is saying, what is my role? What am I supposed to do? The cavalry isn't coming for us. Like, we need to step up and each play our part. Have talk shows, be a loud voice about what's going on.
Right.
Run for different offices, take our country back. And so I've been looking and waiting, is there anyone better? And if there's not, I will be the one. I will do it as a sacrifice for the love of my country.
Is it a sacrifice? Tell me how it's a sacrifice. Even though
I think it's a huge
all
sacrifice.
Of us are sacrificing.
Yes. Well, can you think of anyone who has more targets on them than a conservative running in a Democrat state where George Soros really covets the position that I'm saying I would take?
Right.
I'm gonna have some pretty intense attacks. And that's a huge sacrifice to make my family.
That means you're over the target when they attack you.
Exactly.
Right? Just like General Flynn and others.
God bless General Flynn.
What? God bless General Flynn.
Yeah.
I mean,
such a good
it's
man.
A shame in a way that it requires courage, but today it does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as Keith Hansen said, the bill is coming due on our liberty.
So true.
And that is so true. So what could you tell our listeners as to how they can find their role to play? Because not everybody has to be a talk show host. Not everybody has to run for Secretary of State. But you have a message.
Yes.
So tell them what you think they can do to get involved.
Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, I would say ask God. God, what did you create me to do? What gifts and skills do I have? What do I have to contribute? What area of expertise do I have? Who do I know? What role do I see that is unfulfilled? And when I say role, I don't mean a political role. I mean literally anything.
Any role.
Working at a school or helping clean up garbage in the streets. Whatever it would be to help the nation come back to where it's supposed to be. So ask God, what is my role? And then when it comes to you, when you realize it, because if you ask the question, you will get the answer. Then it's really simple. You obey.
Obedience
you
is hard.
You do.
Especially when we have a lot of false so-called prophets obeying things that they shouldn't be obeying, right?
Yes, yes.
That seems to be the thing, is to obedience to people who are not our lords and masters.
Mm.
So
a good point.
Anyway, thank you so much. How can people help you, connect with you, follow you?
Yes.
And when you do announce, if you announce,
yes,
for California Secretary of State?
Well, I am on YouTube, unless I get taken off, at The Rachel Ham Show on YouTube. Right. And then on Instagram, I am The Rachel Ham. And you can go to rachelham.com. to buy my book, take my courses, contribute to the cause.
What are your courses about? H-A-M-M, by the way. H-A-M-M.
Yes, and Rachel is R-A-C-H-E-L, the biblical way, the Torah way.
The Torah way.
The correct way.
Right.
The God way. What was the question? Oh, about my courses. So I have one course that is about overcoming anxiety and panic and fear, because I did that in my early 20s, had really bad panic attacks, and I went through a natural process of overcoming that without medicine, and so I take people through the process that set me free, and as you can see, I'm a very free person, fearless, so is a beautiful thing that happened in my life. So I share that process with people to help them, and then the other one is just general tools for living the life you were created to live, and then my book is an autobiography about my life and some peculiar things that I have been through.
Wow, that sounds
fascinating.
It's
a very interesting book.
Good. And where do they get it? Where do they get that book?
You can get it at rachelham.com. You can also get it at Amazon, and it's called Life Beginning.
She's lovely, isn't she?
Thank
what
you.
A lovely
You're
person.
Lovely.
So
well,
best of
well,
luck
Karen,
to
thank you.
You. We'll see each other through today and tomorrow, I hope.
Yes.
And thanks for coming on to Spouting Off.
Thank you for having me. I like Spouting Off. Have me on anytime. I like
Spout
Off.
Spout
That's
off.
A great term.
I love it.
That's great.
Yes. We have about
great
15
title.
More minutes. Thank you so
thank
much
you.
For joining us. So, we have Thomas. Yes. Yes, so look at this camera here. Do you think we could get Governor Flynn, General Flynn, when he's done? That would be utterly amazing. He's right over there. Juan is right over there. I got to get that right. Clay Clark, Faith and Liberty Conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we have, among our guest speakers here, people like Sidney Powell, General Michael Flynn, Lynn Wood, Patrick Byrne, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, who, by the way, is unveiling his social media thing today. I don't think it'll conflict with Donald Trump's social media thing. That's why I'm calling it social media thing, because I don't know what it's going to be called. In Mike Lindell's case, it's called Frank Speech. So look up Mike Lindell, Frank Speech, sign up for that. Because if there's anybody who has been censored and shut down, and they tried to shut him down, it is Mike Lindell and anybody who's been affected, frankly. Anybody, that's how you know that you're on the right track. When they're shutting you down about election fraud, you know that you're really close to the truth. Why are we not allowed to ask questions? Why are we not allowed to ask questions? The left asked questions back in the Al Gore Bush days, in which to this very day they have not accepted the results of the election, even though that went through to the Supreme Court, took 60 days, I think, in 2000 in order to adjudicate that case, and still they were whining and complaining. Now, what do they do? We have evidence of election fraud that is just astonishing, and I'm in the process of watching that video. I'm a little late to the table, I'm sorry to say, which is, it's called Absolute Proof by Mike Lindell. He said last night at an event that it was like 150 million people have watched that election, watched that video called Absolute Proof. Let me say that again. Absolute Proof. In which he lays out the evidence not only for domestic election interference, but foreign election interference. Once again, when the left accuses us of or accuses their opponents of something, of anything, and it comes out of left field. Like, remember at the very beginning when Hillary lost, immediately she said, well, you know, the Russians interfered with the election. And people are scratching their head going, what? What do you, this is the first I've ever heard of this. And then she brings it up as if it's been a thing for the longest time. It hasn't been. It hasn't been. It's not a thing, but they make it into a thing. Part of the whole wraparound smear, where they introduce the smear and then they point to it with friendly media and say, see, it's a wraparound smear. You know how we know that? Because Nancy Pelosi admitted it. She said, oh, yeah, yeah, that's the wraparound smear. We're familiar with that. Why? Because they're very good at it. So what do? They introduced the notion of election interference long before there was real evidence of it. And now in the 2020 election, there is serious evidence of it. Right to my left, Michael Flynn, who I don't know if we'll get before the end of our show, the joys of live talk radio. He said that it's foreign election interference. This was like a government coup to interfere and stop the rightful person from being elected. If I thought for one, I don't know what happened, but the fact that they don't want us to ask ought to be leading you to some questions. Any time in the United States of America, there are people telling you, you are not allowed to talk. You're not allowed to question. You're not allowed to speak. You're not allowed to think for yourself. This is the antithesis of what America is about. This is the antithesis of what America is about. I was just talking with Rachel about two Jews, three opinions. I mean, this is the American way to argue, to debate, to question, to think for yourself. That is what is being taken from us, along with all of the Bill of Rights that are under attack today. So, we're about ready to end, and as I say, we will be here today and tomorrow at the Clay Clark Faith and Liberty Conference. I have it written down so I would know how to put it. And we are in Tulsa, Oklahoma. By the way, if you'd like to live stream this conference when we're done with our show for Friday and Saturday, and even if you're not watching live, again, the beauty of video and audio is that you can listen to it after the fact. There will be video. And you know what? There will be enough websites that carry this and interviews from it that if YouTube and Twitter and all the others, well, Twitter is short, but if YouTube decides not to play this an enormous amount of content, you will find websites either on Mike Lindell's website or a lot of other places. Just go to DuckDuckGo. Don't even go to Google. Go to DuckDuckGo. Now, because we're waiting and hoping that Mike Flynn might be able to join us in our last couple of minutes before we have to end the show, and I don't know if it'll happen or not. This is the joys of live radio and live video. I want to cover something that was just a huge scare, and yet while I was driving down here from the Texas area, actually driving up to the Tulsa, Oklahoma area, was this huge notion of the left packing the court. Now, even Fox News and other places are saying that they're not going to get that through because they don't have enough. They don't have enough votes even in the House to pass it. But it doesn't matter if they're even talking about it. We knew they were talking about it. We knew that's what, if they could get away with it, they would do. Now, here's my thought, okay? Even if they don't succeed in packing the court now, the very fact that they want to, that they're talking about it, should tell you everything you need to know about the credibility of these people. There is no self-restraint when it comes to power grabs. The left that we are talking about today that controls the Democrat Party is engaged in a hardcore power grab over this country, and they're going as far and as fast as people will allow them to go. Now, I ask you, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to ask yourself that if you're playing baseball or hockey or whatever is your favorite sport, if you're playing baseball and one side demands to have 18 players on the field and the other side is willing to play by the rules with 9 players on the field, doesn't it give you an idea that these are people who are willing and who are ready and who are interested in cheating? Well, these are the same people who told you you're not allowed to ask about election fraud. These are the same people with the same ideology. And I know, forgive me if I'm talking and insulting your intelligence, but this is ammo, intellectual ammo, that I want to give you when you talk to your friends who are open to understanding what is wrong with this country today. Why do things feel so off kilter? Even if they are not as much of a political junkie as you, what is wrong with our country that people who are lying, cheating, and stealing are telling you have to walk around with a rag on your face for a year when none of the science dictates that? In fact, it doesn't even matter what the science is.